Parsons, reel 3.
And being good at education, however, does to some extent protect you a little bit from the more harsher element of the life.
Yes.
In a way.
Yes, it did in a way, yes. Not a great deal, but it certainly did a bit.
Can you give me in some ways in which this would happen, for example?
Selection of jobs, as I was saying just now, you know, that's primarily where it showed up, you know. They wanted half a dozen chaps for cleaning out the lavatories or something like that. You know. Right. They do the six to get.
And in a way, the educational ability, to some extent, in your own case, gave you the confidence to...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And in a way, you began to feel a little bit superior, shall I put it that way? It hasn't struck me until now, but it certainly did.
Would you still have relations with the other boys?
Oh, yes, you still have relations with them, but you began to feel a bit superior.
Did they notice that too? Did they begin to feel maybe
way? No, perhaps occasionally you might get a little bit thrown at you, you know, you ought to have been in the wardroom.
But it tended to be, as we said earlier, that these sort of boys would cling together.
Yes.
And the others would too.
Yes.
Can you remember any case of one of the other entrants who was equally good educationally? Can you remember anybody who went as far as you did yourself?
Oh, yes, quite a number, actually, yes. And they all were promoted to warrant rank roughly at the same time as myself.
But generally it was the boys with more education to begin with, middle-class boys, who
yes.
adapted better to that.
Yes, they did, yes.
And going on then, just to talk a little bit about training more generally, we said, I think, that it was not exactly congenial.
No, it wasn't. I think really due to the domestic side, where everything was so rough, and it was against your sensibilities in a way, you see, your home influence was still there.
And in your case, perhaps it was more there because you were used to a better home life. And
yes, that's right.
More creature comforts.
Yes, that's right. Creature comforts was the great thing.
And if you'd been used to these, then you felt the loss of them.
Yes. That, I think that was the biggest problem, you know, really.
Can you mind, actually, any example, any instance where you felt it particularly?
Generally, really. We'll say in the dog watches, you're all on the upper deck. There was a gale blowing, and you thought to yourself, my God, now if I was home, I'd be in front of the fire, you see.
But it was, I mean, we said too, training was designed to shake you loose.
Yes, it was, yes. Well, it did do eventually, of course. But it's a very slow process, naturally.
And from the very first word, you began, as we said, this symbolic stripping.
Yes, yes.
You begin with a bath, I think, is the way you...
Yes, that's right, yes. And then you had your supper, and that was my first meal. Well, my God, that was a chunk of bread, a hunk of corned beef, and a basin of very, very greasy cocoa. Well, you can imagine how my stomach revolted, can't you?
And yet, hungry boy, you would eat it.
Oh, gosh, you jolly well did. Yes, you ate whatever came. Luckily, your parents perhaps would send along a parcel of goodies from time to time, you see.
But it was a closed community, and you were there to be remade, and the first thing the Navy did was to disconnect you from shore life.
That was the first essential.
Your clothes, and even the layer of debt you came in with was washed off you.
Yes, yes.
And you got a number and a uniform.
That's right. But it's interesting, I think, My idea of the service, as I told you before, was a ship going out of Portsmouth Harbour with nicely scrubbed decks and so on. Well, now, I would perhaps be looking over the side and a picket boat would come by, spotlessly clean, and the chaps spotlessly clean themselves, you know, and then walking up and down the deck, you know, going from up to the bows, ready for going alongside, you see. Everything so smooth and beautifully done, looking picturesque. And that always influenced me again. It boosted the old shouts again, if you understand me. Or the signalman on the bridge, nicely turned out, you see, and he's wagging away with his old flags. It was always something that encouraged one, or did me, anyway.
Even at the worst of times, you thought of this?
Yes, so that was still there.
But as we say, I mean, the idea of the Navy training was to shake you loose from everything and to remake you think Navy.
Yes, yes, yes.
And to respond to discipline.
Yes.
Without
question.
You know, in other words, that if you respond to it, there's certain gains.
Yes, yes. Well, life was made much more easy, really, providing you behaved yourself.
You're in a position where if you can't fight back, you just, if you want to live reasonably well, you
conformed.
In some ways, we said too that it was a sort of degrading experience.
Yes.
That's the word you used.
Yes.
In what way, precisely? I mean, what sort of example?
Well, instead of being a member of a family, as you were at home, you were a member of a crowd then, and you were a flock of sheep. Do as you're told. The sheepdog was always running around you, and you didn't step out of line. You obeyed. You had no privileges, no rights.
And you thought to warrant none either. You weren't, you know, a civilized person in a way.
No, you weren't, really, no.
And this extended even to corporal punishment.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Not often, but it did happen, didn't it?
Oh, it did happen, yes, yes.
How was it arranged? How was it done?
That was always done in the during the dinner hour. And the master at arms, the officer of the day, would be down there and you'd be put across the old horse. And half a dozen would be administered.
It wasn't the public?
Oh, no. No, they didn't do it in public, no. The only thing you did in public was if you misbehaved, but not badly, you'd be sent over the masthead just as the bugle had gone for breakfast or something like that. So by the time you got over the masthead and back, there was nothing left for you to get for breakfast.
But these little humiliations must be there all the time.
They're the whole time, yes.
And the way to avoid them is not to be awkward or...
That's right. Just do as you're told.
Could it be that the Navy felt that a great many of these boys, as we said before, didn't feel that they had feelings in a way? Was this, to some extent, the attitude of the barracks, that people of this kind knew no better anyway? And
that's right. Yes, I think that was true.
And they could always handle the incorrigible, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, they could.
In what sort of ways? And well, I mean, you would find them, I think we said. You would find somebody who would try and take them on. But in what sort of ways, and how would the Navy handle it?
Well, their punishments. That's the only way they could handle it, you see. All right, stop it. You do a couple of hours extra work. A very, very minor thing. You get 14 days, 10A, or whatever you like to call it, and you'd have to put in extra work every night, and the dog watches, and so on, you see.
And these people didn't become heroes. They began to...
Oh, no, they didn't come heroes. Oh, no. No. But of course, so many of them were of the type that they went on right throughout their career. They were just against the government. And no matter what you did to them, they laughed it off and carried on in the same way.
And in what ways did the experience of the training ship, I mean, the Navy sets out to change you, I think, what way did it change you to make you presumably more amenable? And generally, you accepted it, I think.
You accepted it, yes, yes. Well, you realise very quickly, I think, if you're going to realise at all, that you had to conform.
In fact, you became a boy PO.
Yes, yes.
Which involved what?
You were in charge of a mess, you see, say up to 20 chaps. You were responsible for that mess, the behaviour of the chaps in that mess, for their food, cleanliness and so on. And then when you became an instructor boy, as I did, then you helped the instructing petty officers in their job.
And how did you get this promotion to boy PO
to begin with? You were selected. How it happened, God only knows, but it just happened.
On the basis of your abilities?
Yes, oh yes, yes.
And what sort of problems did this make for you? I mean, you were now handling...
Praise the Lord that when I left the training ship, I saw my service certificate, and one point was there, he shows great tact, you see, and it depends entirely on tact, how you get on with chaps. You see, one chap misbehave. Well, his petty officer boy would serve out pretty good stiff punishment. Another one with tact, you see, could serve out something much less, but put the fear of God into the chap. You see my point? Mm.
And diplomacy was the essence, really. Of
oh, yes, definitely, yes.
But there must have been, you were caught in the way in the middle.
Oh, you were, yes, in a way, but I think the most chappies took it in their stride.
Did everybody manage who did this to succeed reasonably well at it, or did you find some who just couldn't handle this particular type of position?
No, my experience was that they managed quite well, actually. Because they always had the backing of the... of the petty officers and the warrant officers, you see. They stood by you, whatever you did.
And they supported you here?
Oh, they supported you, yes. Well, they had to. That was part of the discipline.
And can you give me an example of a situation which you were in as a boy PO which was tricky and maybe even difficult and you had to find a solution?
Yes. One petty officer... smoked woodbines, and the freshwater tank was midships, you see, and he went to draw some water. Stop it! Yes, he went to draw some water from the tank, and he'd been to the canteen and bought his box of woodbines, you know, they used to have them in little 50 packets, you know. He put them on top of the tank, drew his water off, went back with the water and left his woodbines. Well, within a few seconds, that box had disappeared. And I saw the chap that disappeared with them, you see. But my gosh, it was a very difficult thing to do. I didn't know whether to deal with that chap and say, well, I saw you take those. You see my point? And eventually I had to do nothing. Because I knew quite well that if I'd said he'd taken them,